It's Monday, April 1st, and Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't have to look to Gaza to find people who don't trust him. We start here. Anti-government protests swell in Israel.
Almost 6 months into the war, there are 132 hostages still in Gaza.
All this as the U.S. approves another arms sale. We'll get you caught up on a busy weekend in the Mideast. There were no cars behind him, just a bridge collapsing.
It was an eerie feeling because there was no vehicles at all.
Our team talked to what could be the last man to ever drive across the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And how many Americans can squeeze into a 115-mile-wide strip of land?
So believe it or not, people have been booking hotels for 11 months now.
Next week's solar eclipse has sparked a lot of bright ideas. From ABC News, this is Start Here. I'm Brad Milkey. Yesterday, as Christians celebrated Easter around the world, Pope Francis addressed a crowd of tens of thousands of worshipers at St. Peter's Square. What was his Easter message? Well, a big part of it was a plea to end the suffering in Gaza. He called for more humanitarian aid for Palestinians. He called for the release of Israeli hostages. And significantly, he called for a ceasefire.
Let us not allow the current hostilities to continue to have grave repercussions on the civilian population, and above all, the children.
But in Gaza, despite a UN resolution agreeing with that sentiment, there is no sign of a ceasefire, and every indication that civilians bottled up in the southern area of Rafah will be killed by impending Israeli strikes. And so this weekend, demonstrators from Israel assembled for some of their biggest protests against the Israeli government since this war began. Britt Klenet is in Tel Aviv in Israel right now. Britt, what is making these protests so intense?
Well, look, as you say, Brad, this is the largest demonstration we've seen so far held in Jerusalem since the war began, at drawing in 100,000 people into the streets with anti-government protesters and many families of the hostages now joining forces. From what we can see, Israeli police forces sprayed protesters with this kind of foul-smelling skunk spray in an attempt to disperse the crowds that were blocking traffic and lighting bonfires on a Jerusalem highway. There were mounted police, they were dispatched to disperse the protesters too, who then continued to march in the direction of the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu's residence. Although obviously he's not there, he's getting surgery for a hernia right now. Mm. But look, people are angry.
This government is a complete and utter failure, and the only way they will lead us into the abyss that we will never come out of.
Almost 6 months into the war, there are 132 hostages still in Gaza, by an official count, although it's believed some of them may have died. What it really shows, though, Brad, is that pressure is growing and growing from the families who have not seen or heard from their loved ones in more than 170 days. They've repeatedly called on Netanyahu to do more to ensure the release of their loved ones. And what we're seeing right now, I think, is the hostage families taking their gloves off, now joining, as I say, with the anti-government organizers to say, hey, we're fed up now. It's time that we see some action.
I see. So these groups are coming together. And then I guess there's also this furor over Netanyahu trying to continue this rule where ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel are exempt from military participation. So you got these other families being like, wait, our kids have to serve, but they don't. When it comes to what's going on with the U.S. recently, Britt, like the U.S. government has made it clear we are not lockstep with Israel. And yet the U.S. also just approved a new arms deal with them, right? What message are we sending right now?
Yeah, I think it's unclear and too early to say whether this signals a thawing of relations yet. Mm. But certainly it goes against the kind of cracks that we've been seeing in the U.S.-Israeli relationship. Biden greenlighting another round of weapons for Israel. We're talking billions of dollars worth of arms, fighter jets, bombs, including 2,000-pound bombs. This really does show that despite the rhetoric, the concerns over a ground invasion into Rafah, there is a flow of weapons, even though these are long-standing agreements. Some Democrats are very much criticizing the decision and say that these arms deals, they should come with some kind of conditions.
Netanyahu continues to essentially, you know, give the finger to the president of the United States, and we're sending more bombs. That doesn't make sense.
Saying Israel has a responsibility to allow more aid into Gaza as this imminent famine that the UN is predicting looms, especially in the north. Lawmakers like President Biden are also deeply concerned about the safety of over a million Gazan civilians if Israel presses ahead with this assault in Rafah. And I think Prime Minister Netanyahu coming out again, saying that he vows to do so, to go into Rafah, really sends a signal that despite this weapons flow from the US, these are his intentions.
There is no victory without going into Rafah. There is no victory without eliminating the Hamas forces there.
Well, we've talked about how the US is really uncomfortable with the idea of the potential invasion in Rafah, and yet we keep hearing that that definitely appears to be one of the plans. We don't know when it would happen or how it would happen, but what is it like on the ground in Rafah in the south of Gaza right now?
So I spoke with a family in Rafah where 1.3 million people have been taking shelter. They've fled from the central parts of Gaza. They've fled from the north to seek some kind of safety. I spoke to Nima Asher, and she showed me the tent she lives in with her family at this kind of makeshift camp after evacuating from the north.
This is where we cook.
At any day, Brad, they may have to leave.
We are suffering in getting the water, the food. Now they are celebrating when we have it.
She said her children are now celebrating having basic necessities. She said her children are living under this unimaginable state of fear.
Our neighbors has been killed. They were sleeping peacefully and they were killed. So each night we think we might be the next.
When it's really driven home by, I mean, forget even the ground incursion, there was an airstrike this weekend that Gaza authorities, that's essentially Hamas saying that 14 Palestinians were killed in one airstrike. Seven of those 14 were children. No comment from the IDF on that, but it just shows the level of destruction we could be talking about here. All right, Brit Clenett there in Tel Aviv. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Next up on Start Here, the first piece is 200 tons, and that's barely a fraction of what needs to go. The dismantling of the Key Bridge begins after the break. With daylight saving time upon us, we're looking forward to more daylight and longer days from March through November, and while setting our clocks forward gives us the illusion of more time, it doesn't necessarily help businesses find qualified candidates any sooner. Fear not, there is a solution. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is your 24/7 hiring partner working tirelessly to connect you with the right candidate. Once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets distributed to over 100 job sites, ensuring you reach a diverse pool of qualified individuals. Their smart technology scans thousands of resumes, matching you with people whose skills perfectly align with your job requirements. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/start here. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/start here. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you would do with an extra hour in your day? I think about this all the time. I'm like, I would be so productive. I'd exercise more, or I'd read a book, or I'd take a nap, like restore myself. We often find ourselves yearning for these extra hours, but the real question is, what would you do if you were making yourself a priority? Well, how about therapy? It can help you discover what's important so you can make the most of your time. If you've ever benefited from therapy, you know how transformative it can be. It's not just for those who have experienced major trauma. Therapy empowers you to learn positive coping skills, set boundaries, and become the best version of yourself. If you're considering starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and tailored to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And here's the beauty of it. You can switch therapists if you're not finding the right fit. No additional charge. Take the first step. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/start here today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/start here. The debris from the Francis Scott Key Bridge disaster in Baltimore is so gargantuan, I hesitate to even call it debris. Like, it might as well be a new landmass sprung up in the middle of the Patapsco River. Like, that's how heavy and immovable this stuff appears. Meanwhile, we know of six people that disappeared into that water. Only two of their bodies have been found. Recovering the others can't even continue until it's safe. And so with this massive job in front of them, workers started cutting into the remains of the Key Bridge this weekend, and ABC's Jay O'Brien was there covering it. Jay, first, what kind of equipment do you even use here? It's not like you got bulldozers that can just roll up there.
No, this is a job that nobody wants to have to do and frankly isn't ready to do at a moment's notice. You need to bring a lot of stuff to bear to pull this off in a timely manner. And we know, as you said, Brad, getting all of this debris out of the way, getting this port open again, is going to take a lot of time. So what you have to bring in really are floating cranes to try to lift the pieces of this bridge out of the water. It's a multi-step process, but really two key steps in all of this, officials say, are cutting up the sections of this bridge, because as it is right now, it is too heavy for these cranes to lift out on its own. You have to cut it up into chunks and then lift those chunks with these floating cranes out of the water. There's a lot of those cranes there on site, including the largest one that was available on the East Coast. It's capable of lifting 1,000 tons. It's called the Chesapeake 1000. And over the weekend, they finally, to your point, started doing those initial cuts to get this show on the road. I was actually looking through the lens of one of our big long cameras that one of our photographers had set up on the shore. And almost before nightfall on Saturday, we see a spark and we go, oh, they are cutting this up. This is finally moving. It's the beginning of what is going to be a grueling, arduous process that officials have said, look, they don't even know how long it's going to take them to clear this harbor.
It's going to take time. You know, we're talking about a port right now that still has, you know, mangled wreckage that we still have to be able to sort through. That still is an unsafe situation.
Just to give you a sense of the scale of what they're cutting up here, Brad, the first piece is estimated, officials say, to be around 200 tons. This is a massive operation. This stuff is heavy. And that's one of the reasons why nobody really knows. And this is a key point. You have an entire community of Baltimore who are waiting to see when this port, which is closed because of all this debris, is going to get up and running again. This port is tied to 8,000 jobs, and no one has any kind of idea when those people will be able to fully go back to work and when ships are going to be able to pass through the harbor as they normally would.
Hey, and then I'm thinking about the accident itself, because you think about, we saw cars speeding away from the bridge, and you almost wondered, like, were there sirens going off? Or like, you spoke to someone who says he might have been among the last vehicles to leave. I mean, what was he seeing in that moment?
Yeah, he told us an eerie story, Brad. His name is Larry DeSantis.
I mean, I remember when they built the bridge back in 77.
And you were one of the last people to drive over it before it fell.
Yeah.
He's a baker at Herman's Bakery. He's actually their head baker. And so he works odd hours. He works in the middle of the night and in the early morning. And so he's traveling from one bakery job to the next, he says, around 1:25 on Tuesday morning, the day of the collapse. He estimates he got across the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, around 1:27, 1:28. He knows that from a number of factors. He looked at the clock, and also that's the time he would normally be crossing in his routine. He does this routine every day. He crosses this bridge every day. The Dolly, that cargo ship, hit the bridge at 1:29. He says he was minutes away from that bridge collapse, one of the last cars to get across it.
Yeah, I got a phone call from my other job. They asked me a question, and they said, did you hear the bridge just collapse? I'm like, it did. I just got off of it.
And he was really focused, he says, on trying to navigate some remaining construction that was on the road. He did see that construction crew working on the bridge minutes before the collapse, he tells me.
That morning with all the workers there, I'm just afraid, you know, you never know. Somebody could trip fall in front of you. So I'm very, very cautious when I go over. So that's what I was paying attention to.
But he did notice one thing that was very strange to him.
It was an eerie feeling because there was no vehicles at all. Mm. And normally that time of the morning, even that time of the morning, because it's right there at Amazon, you'll see 20, 30 tractor trailers coming and going.
And
there
you saw nothing on
the road. Nothing.
He didn't see anything. No one was behind him. He believes he was one of the last ones across before Maryland Transit Police closed that bridge. Because remember, the ship gave a mayday, gave officials time to lock down the bridge, and no cars were transmitting over it at the time of the collapse. And Brad, you know, it hasn't really sunken in for him yet exactly what he went through. But he did say one thing, which is, watching that video that so many of us have seen of the bridge collapsing after it gets struck by that cargo ship, that is what really has driven a lot of this home for Larry DeSantis.
I mean, if I had been 1 minute later, I wouldn't be here.
He says when he looked at that, he said to himself that he was lucky to be alive.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Because you imagine everyone there knows what's going on. This guy doesn't even find out that the bridge collapsed until after he shows up at his second job and then goes, oh, wait, that's why there was no one behind me. Unbelievable. Jay O'Brien, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, one more quick break. When we come back, a 4 minute long look at the sun brings with it a whole shadow economy. One last thing is next.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And one last thing. We are 1 week away from a cosmic party, and the whole country's invited.
The countdown to the total solar eclipse, now just days away. This rare event is expected to generate record-breaking travel and spending.
So next Monday at 1:27 Central Time, the sun will cease shining in Eagle Pass, Texas. It'll be fully blocked by the moon. At 1:36, people in Austin will see this phenomenon. By 1:40, it'll make it over Dallas. And the path of the solar eclipse will travel all the way through Texas, Arkansas, up into the Midwest in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and then into the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, and Maine. For 4 minutes at a time, hundreds of American towns will be linked by this path of total blackouts. I've seen a solar eclipse in person before. It is very cool. It gives you like this cosmic sense of wonder. But if you are thinking of checking it out as a last-minute vacay, well, good luck with that.
So would you like to go see the eclipse by staying in Evansville, Indiana? This girl has a $600 a night room.
Why would anyone?
It's in the basement, though, so it's good.
The path of totality, where you actually see the full eclipse, is 115 miles wide. The closer you get to the center of that path, the longer eclipse you get.
Airlines have added eclipse flights.
Which is why Clint Henderson from the travel site The Points Guy says these spots are in such high demand.
So believe it or not, people have been booking hotels for 11 months now, basically.
If you're trying to book an Airbnb for the weekend, rooms that usually cost $100 a night in Texas are going for $860 a night. In Burlington, Vermont, $100 rooms are going for $1,400. Even airfares to the cities nearby are sky high.
The average round-trip ticket to Louisville is running about $1,200. Buffalo, about $1,000. San Antonio, just under $900.
So who's driving this? Well, they call themselves umbrophiles, eclipse chasers, people who plan for years in advance for the chance to watch the sun's corona forming this perfect crown around the moon.
We went to the eclipse in 2017 to Tennessee.
Nazmus Nasir is from Boston.
Seeing totality for the first time, I wanted to keep feeling that. So as soon as that was done, my wife and I were like, we have to plan for the next one.
He could easily just head across the state line to Vermont, but says he's looking forward to this so much he doesn't trust New England clouds, so he's heading for the bright skies of Texas.
I don't know if there are words to describe the level of excitement I have. If the number went to 100, I'm probably at like 500.
And here's what I love about this event. Cities and states do careful planning to make sure big events are held at big venues with big infrastructure nearby. The sun doesn't care about any of that. It doesn't care if you live in Cleveland, Ohio, or Rangeley, Maine. Both are in the path of totality, and both will be putting on a heck of a show.
As many as 20,000 people are expected to watch the solar eclipse in Rangeley.
I don't think I've ever seen it that busy in April.
A town of about 1,200 people.
Rangeley is known for skiing and fishing. The ski season is supposed to end in a couple weeks, but eclipses like this bring an entire economy to town. Rangeley is offering stargazing while snowshoeing events leading up to the big day. Medina, Ohio is hosting an alien-themed DJ party. Some towns are hosting mass weddings, and in Metamora, Indiana, the local ice cream shop is ordering hundreds of extra gallons to satisfy sweet tooths.
Well, we're hoping that, you know, the experience will be much more than that 3-minute period, even though that'll be historical for them as individuals.
Multiply this by all the towns between Texas and Maine, and you see how big this can get. It's not just established businesses that are budgeting around this either. Good campsites are so in demand that some savvy homeowners are listing their spare bedrooms, and when they run out of rooms, they're renting patches of grass in their backyard.
This guy is just renting the hammock in his backyard.
Okay, well, that is bold, and I enjoy that choice.
But when you invite big crowds, you invite the headaches that come with them.
It's sort of like 100 concerts letting out at the same time.
Dana Norris from Kent, Ohio, remembers what it was like trying to leave a big field back in 2017.
If folks do not have to drive after the eclipse is over, my advice is to hang tight.
And all this, again, means that city officials, large and small, will be planning for traffic jams, accidents, medical emergencies. They don't care if you're in a small town either. Niagara Falls, Canada, in Ontario, has preemptively declared a state of emergency so it can throw together whatever resources it needs as up to 1 million people flock to their city. I guess what I'm saying is, if you live on this path, be prepared for an experience unlike anything you've ever seen. And if you're traveling there, bring your patience and your wallet. By the way, if I sound skeptical, I'm fully not. Like, I was with these people a few years back, looking up at the sky being like, oh gosh, I get it now. I get why you love this. Hey, speaking of things that just seem like they should be magic and they're not, if you're new to the show, glad you're here. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you will get a new episode delivered straight to your phone every morning. Heads up, by the way, today's April Fool's Day. I was going to tell you guys, like, I'm retiring, bye. And then I was like, it is too early for most of these people. So this is your one and only warning. Like, gird yourselves. I'm Brad Milkey. See you tomorrow.
I booked us a hammock.
No, you didn't.
April Fools.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.